Welcome back to another episode of Trigger. This is episode 612, Wednesday, July 8th. I'm Corey and Ganimort. Here, as always, Matt Vespa. What's going on, Vespa?
Oh, nothing. Nothing much. Just a little under the weather, but I'm here.
A little under the weather. Sorry about that. I know you've had a rough weekend. Was it drowning your sorrows away from the USA's loss in the World Cup this weekend, or what?
Yeah, okay.
Did you watch it, though?
No, I did not.
Oh, good for you. I didn't either.
Yeah.
It's funny, and now everybody can join us in not caring about soccer once again. Every 4 years, everybody's got to buy all the jerseys, buy all the nobody cares about soccer. So here we are just continuing that theme. But we do care about world events, what's going on in the country right now. What was confirmed for about the 69th time is that Graham Platner is a sick piece of he is a disgusting human being. We've learned so much about him. I mean, but still, the Democrats were on board with him. It didn't matter that he had a Nazi tattoo on his chest, or he made racist, misogynistic comments all the time on Reddit. He messaged individuals on a child predators app. As if that wasn't enough, all these people were still endorsing him. Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Ro Khanna, Ruben Gallego, Senator Martin Heinrich from New Mexico. They didn't care. That didn't matter to them. Now they seem to care because, well, the polling started to suck for him. The polling started to suck, and then there was another scandal, the biggest one to drop, and now they're ready to just completely abandon him. But not because of this scandal, but because of the polling was dropping. This week we learned that a woman in Maine, her name is Jenny Ratchicott. She had some very serious allegations. She was on the record with, Politico, right? Yeah, I think it was Politico. She later did an interview with Jake Tapper. She detailed a horrendous event that took place. She used to date Graham Platner. They're on again, off again. I guess when they were off again, Graham Platner showed up at her house unwelcomed, got inside unwelcomed, and forced her to have sex with him. It was non-consensual. She just went down to describe it in great details, that he actually ejaculated inside of her despite her constantly saying not to, and that she wasn't using birth control at the time. This is a rape. This is rape by definition. It's a crazy ex who shows up drunk and forces sex on the girl. Poor woman. She was brave enough to come out. She actually didn't come out for the longest time, she says, because she's a Democrat and she agrees with Graham Platner's policies. So now, you know, because the first accusation was from Lindsey Fifield, who's a Republican, they didn't really care how sexually violent he was. But since it's a Democrat, oh, it must be true, which tells you, kind of how the Democrats think in general, not just from their party from abandoning him, but this woman wouldn't report the rape because she agreed with the politics. Isn't that kind of crazy? You're that loyal to your party that you don't want to have a rapist not run for office?
She was
isn't that
mentioned
nuts?
Before, though.
Say that again, Vespa.
She was mentioned in the New York Times piece. She was glossed over, though.
That's right. And she was glossed over. The New York Times has lost so much credibility.
They didn't want to verify any of the information that Lindsey was telling them. So.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And Lindsey had given, I think, five credible witnesses who she confided this information with. They only reached out to two of them, which knew none of the details. They didn't want this story to be true. They did try to check all the boxes, or at least some of the boxes, to say, okay, we ran this. We had this information and we ran it. The New York Times took a complete hit during this entire time. Whatever little credibility they had left should be gone. So Graham Platner releases a statement. This was 2 days ago. He's taking some time to reflect on the best path forward. He says, none of the allegations are true. However, I'm going to take time to reflect on the best path forward because Susan Collins, who's a fascist, according to him, needs to be defeated. I don't think both can be true at the same time. I don't think he didn't commit this rape. Maybe he doesn't remember it. That's possible because he sounded belligerently drunk. But I don't think it's possible that he didn't do this and is willing to drop out of the race. I think he knows that he did. And mind you, Vespa, you know this. This is all from left-wing outlets. Politico, New York Times. Republicans are holding their fire. I think the raunchiest details and the raunchiest scandals are still yet to come if he's actually the nominee. We have until Monday next week at 5 p.m. until Democrats are screwed. They're locked in with this guy. Previously, he said, in all these interviews, he was asked, is there any more scandals that are going to drop? And he unequivocally said no. Clearly, that's not true. So I expect more to come out, even if he doesn't leave the race. So Plattner is probably going to leave the race. I actually thought it would happen by now. It's been about 48 hours since this news dropped. Is there a chance he stays in, Vespa? What do you think?
No. I don't think so. There's no support.
There is no support, but he...
No support.
He probably feels wronged in this whole situation. Like, if he drops out now, he never has a chance to reclaim his... any kind of dignity that he thinks that he might still be able to salvage to. His name is tarnished forever. If he stays in this race, I mean, polling shows, and I don't believe the polling per se, because Sullivan Collin always outruns them by like 16 points or whatever. But polling shows this is still a single-digit race. If he stays in and somehow pulls this off, he can redefine himself. Do you think that interests him, or you just think he's done?
He can't win without... He has no money.
Yeah. That is true. And a lot of the Democrats are abandoning him in fundraising, too. Schumer's basically said, you're cut out. This isn't going to happen. But I'm hoping, and maybe he is. He just seems like narcissistic enough. He's certainly a narcissist to actually stay in this race. And it's been 48 hours. I thought it would happen by now. But according to the New York Times, he's trying to dictate, should he drop out, he gets to pick. He gets to handpick his replacement. And of course, you know, his politics are insane. Granted, the voters in Maine, the Democrat voters, voted for him. But he wants to handpick his own replacement. And a lot of these, like, socialist guys who ran for governor, came in second or third, whatever, didn't win the nomination. They're all sick f***s, too. They're accused of violence. This one guy, Troy Jackson, was accused of throwing a bottle at a woman at a party one time. The campaign clarified, oh, he dropped a water bottle and he was mad. But I don't know. As you said on previous episodes, like, Maine voters and the Democrats kind of dug this grave. This is their problem. But I really, really hope that Graham Plattner stays in this race. But
yeah.
But you don't know. I think you're probably right. It's wishful thinking on my part that he will. But I'm just hoping he's a narcissistic enough. Some of the media pundits and politicians, they're trying to, like, push this. Have you seen Michael Tracy on Twitter?
Yeah.
Like, what a nut job. They're trying to defend this guy. He's like, so we're to believe that this guy showed up drunk, blackout drunk, to the woman's house. Who's to say that this woman didn't rape him? Like that's the argument that they're making right now?
It's bad.
Debbie Dingell, Congresswoman from Michigan, just yesterday was saying this.
Do you think that Democrats need to be willing to not play by the traditional rules that have said that this kind of thing should be out of bounds for a candidate? Obviously, Donald Trump, there was the Access Hollywood tape, and then he got elected. Then there was January 6th, and he got elected again.
He never raped somebody, by the way, CNN, Casey Hunt.
But at the same time, I mean, you know, Democrats have repeatedly said, you know, those are not things that we accept. Where are you on this?
I'm never going to accept sexual violence or domestic violence, so let me be very clear on that. But I also thought Bill Clinton couldn't get elected, and I do believe we have to fight fire with fire.
Well, what does that even mean? We have to fight fire with fire. So what about the rape? We just need to move forward with our heads down. It's pretty sick, and all these Democrats, a lot of them are backing away. Probably, like I said earlier, not because of the rape accusations and the very detailed account and collaborated by other sources and friends and therapists she's confined in, but because his polling is so bad. So Bernie Sanders dropped off the train yesterday. That was the big one. I haven't heard anything from Elizabeth Warren. She's been on stage with him previously. She may have released some kind of statement.
Guy.
Yeah, that's my guy. She raises his hand. Ro Khanna, what a fraud he is. Ruben Gallego, Martin Heinrich, they all withdrew their endorsements. Same with the main Democratic Party leadership, the state legislature, groups like Vote Vets and Citizens United. So he's really got no support. If he was to continue this campaign, I don't think they're going to appear on any campaign stages with him. And as you said, the money is going to dry up. So that's the latest. Nominate a scumbag. Expect scumbag results. And we'll be monitoring what happens there. Vesper, you following this Mitch McConnell news going on on the internet right now?
A little bit.
So Mitch McConnell apparently had a health emergency, which we reported on about 3 weeks ago. And nobody's heard anything from him since. There are rumors swirling around on the internet. Laura Loomer, you know, she's kind of crazy. Every once in a while, she gets a story that's right that nobody saw coming. She's reporting, and I'm using air quotes, that Mitch McConnell has been brain dead for 3 weeks. Other people are surmising that he died, because we got to get to early August before the governor can't pick a replacement for Mitch McConnell. And there's rumors that, you know, Thomas Massey may want to get in and could be like a giant FU to Trump to pick him as the U.S. Senator and all this kind of stuff. So Mitch McConnell, nobody knows much about his health right now, other than he's in a hospital and we have reporters camped outside the hospital. They're seeing all the security walking in and out. So there's rumors to there's reason to believe that he's alive. But all of a sudden yesterday, Scott Jennings said he had a 20-minute phone call with Mitch McConnell, and he's doing well. They talked about policy and all this kind of stuff. And I don't know, I certainly trust Scott Jennings. I like him a lot. But then everybody else started saying that they were having 20-minute phone calls with Mitch McConnell. John Thune, Senator Barrasso, they had 20-minute phone calls with Mitch McConnell. And the last we saw Mitch McConnell, he was on the Senate floor. He could barely walk, barely talk. We saw him falling to the ground. This is kind of strange to me. I don't think the campaign is being, or the Mitch McConnell's office is being transparent about this at all. I think he's probably not functioning well at all. And there's been pressure mounting. So he's probably on a phone call, but I mean, all these guys are saying they talked to him. I wonder if Mitch McConnell talked back. I just don't see where this is going in a good way. And then, I don't know, maybe by August after this deadline, he can resign or something. And then, you know, the state party picks the next senator from Kentucky. But Mitch McConnell is in bad shape, and we are demanding answers for this. Actually, Andy Beshear, the Democrat governor of Kentucky, just wrote to Mitch McConnell's office saying the voters deserve transparency. We need to know what the hell is going on with Mitch McConnell. It's kind of like one of those, I mean, less so because there were cameras and we could see how unhealthy he is. But when Tom Kaine disappeared from the United States Congress, which just last week we learned was because of depression, the voters demand and deserve answers. You're supposed to represent them. And by the way, real quick on Tom Kaine, I'm sorry for your depression. That's awful. It's an awful thing to suffer from. But you still owe your constituents an explanation of where the hell you are, even while you're dealing with that. So frustrating. You ever?
It wasn't managed well. It wasn't. I mean, he could have had.
You're talking about Tom Kaine?
Yeah, there could have been a definitive statement instead of this, like, you know, like unsolved mysteries tinge to everything that was like said to us about this.
Yeah, and I think voters would appreciate that. They can understand if you're suffering from something very, very serious. And we don't know the extent of how serious these things are, but they can be very serious.
I'm going to veer, Corey, that it was probably really, really bad.
I'm going to guess that too.
You know, like, I'm talking like, I'm not going to get into details, but like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I think it was really bad, which I get it. But, you know, when did he come back? June 30th, he came back. I mean, he could, you know, I mean, that office could have had better instructions, I guess.
Yeah, totally. So,
but, you know,
the voters deserve that. That's for sure. Happening today and yesterday, Trump has been in Turkey for NATO summits. And a lot of news was breaking over the last couple of days, particularly with our operation and war, whatever you want to call it, with Iran. Just 2 days ago, Iran was attacking oil tankers and in the Strait of Hormuz. This obviously violated the MOU, and they've always gotten away with a little violation, and Trump goes soft, and we have, you know, a response that's of equal and par. We've always been a little tit for tat here, but now it seems like Trump and the United States' patience is running out, because it's very clear that these people will not agree to any agreement. Well, at least they won't abide by any agreement moving forward. These are terrorists that we're dealing with. Donald Trump, just yesterday, he revoked Iran's oil sales authorizations. He's basically saying, no, you're not selling any more oil. We're going to bankrupt you. And just last night, we started bombing them. CENTCOM announced just last night, they said the U.S. strikes are in response to Iranian attacks on three commercial vessels that were transiting the Strait of Hormuz. Iran's demonstrated aggression was unwarranted, dangerous, and a clear violation of the ceasefire. So the strikes that the U.S. did in response last night, they targeted Iran air defense systems, coastal surveillance systems, surface-to-air missiles, anti-ship cruise missile sites, drone launch sites, and port facilities. So it's really escalating. This was last night, and then this morning we wake up to Donald Trump having a bunch of press conferences in Turkey, kind of basically saying, what the hell is going on here? His patience is running thin. Let me pull up a clip. He was on this morning, and he says, he said this.
We attacked very powerfully last night. The very dangerous people from Iran, they're sick. There's something wrong with them. We said, go and do your funeral stuff. And instead of that, they start shooting rockets at ships yesterday. And so we hit them very hard last night, very hard. I would say 20 to 1, 20 times tougher.
So in previous, it's been kind of tit for tat. You know, you take out a ship, we'll take a ship. This time we went a little bit overboard. Not overboard, an appropriate response for them to actually finally stop, we hope. He went on later to say they're a bunch of scum. These are evil, sick people, and we have to get rid of the cancer. They're cancer, and you know what to do? You got to cut out the cancer. I told them every time you hit, we hit, and of course, they're dirty players. So that's kind of the situation that we're in right now. He also said that the ceasefire is now over.
Have any questions?
Mr. President, is the ceasefire over? Is the ceasefire done? Is the MOU dead?
It's a very interesting question. To me, I think it's over. I don't want to deal with them anymore. They're scum. You know what scum is? They're scum. They're sick people. They're led by sick people. And they're vicious, violent people. And if they had a nuclear weapon, they'd use it. As far as I'm concerned, it's over. I'll speak to our negotiators. They want to negotiate. They're good people. Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner. But they have to come back to me. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a waste of time dealing with them. They're liars. We make a deal.
So they're liars. It's just a waste of time dealing with them. So the ceasefire is basically over. You saw the stock market take a little bit of a hit today. Oil prices raised about $3 per barrel. He later on in a press briefing later said that he expects gas to go up a little bit, but this should be temporary. So we might just bomb the hell out of them, Vespa. What do you think? You've been saying this for a while. It's kind of what we have to do,
right?
Yeah,
it's time. I mean, like, are we shocked here? I mean, they're a bunch of terrorists.
Yeah. There's nothing they can say that you can trust. Trump did leave the door open, say, you know, if they want to negotiate, we can negotiate. So there is a bit of an off ramp if he pulls one of these bluffs again where say we're going to bomb you and then, no, the talks are back on. He does have that escape route if he's serious about it. But again, don't expect anything to change, really. What was a bit interesting about this meetings over in NATO, and also, by the way, he was funny. He was speaking with the head of NATO and he was ripping on Spain. And he's like, oh, by the way, they've been terrible with Iran. They're not helping us at all. Marco, let's cut trade with them starting now. He said that in front of the head of NATO, which I think was awesome. But another interesting tidbit about this trip is that, you know, they took the new Air Force One to fly there, and they're taking the old Air Force One to fly back. Everyone's like, why would this be? And the new Air Force One is apparently going to the UK, going to stop at some Air Force bases. The idea is that they're going to show it off, you know, a little show and tell, talk about it, and so the airmen can check out this awesome new aircraft. But meanwhile, Trump's going to be flying back in the old Air Force One. And it's a little strange. We were wondering why that would happen. Stephen Nelson, the great Stephen Nelson from the New York Post, asked Donald Trump about this just about an hour ago. Here's what he said.
Stephen Nelson from the New York Post. I'd like you to address speculation that you're leaving Ankara not in the new Air Force One because of security concerns involving Iran. You've spoken today twice about them possibly assassinating you and possibly being successful. Did that concern have something to do
with it? Well, I speak about it a lot because, you know, the life of a president is very dangerous. It's 5.2%. You know what a race car driver is? 0.1%. A bull rider, that looks pretty dangerous to me. It's 0.1%. No, it's 5.2% is you don't make it. You should have told me you're an excellent reporter. You should have told me that years ago. Maybe I wouldn't have run. It's a very dangerous profession. No, I'm number one on the kill list for Iran. They're lovely people. I'm number one. So I don't know. I can't tell you that, but I don't really care because I'm doing my job and I'm doing it, I hope, better than anybody's ever done it because we have a country that's hot and really, really successful. But I mention it only because it's on the list. I mean, it came out. There was another list came out yesterday, and I'm number one on. I like being number one on TikTok better, but I'm number one on the list for.
So he was asked about that, and basically saying, kind of confirming.
I'm number one on TikTok.
Yeah, that's a great line. I'd prefer being number one on TikTok than the kill list. So he's not saying it outright, but somewhat confirming that it's maybe a security risk to have this new Air Force One, something that's not been tested. He's in enemy territory right now in Turkey, flying over the Mideast. Should we read into this, Vespa? Is there a conspiracy theory you want to share?
No, I don't want to get into that right now.
All right, and that wraps up today's show. It's worth considering. They don't want to take a risk while they're flying over the Mideast on this vessel that was provided from Qatar. You know, it's probably overly cautious, but you can't be too cautious in these situations. So we're going to take the tested, true, original Air Force One, fly it back, and then probably have all the mechanics check out this new Air Force One when it returns. Vespa, I hope you're feeling better. You feeling any better after solving all the world's problems in this episode?
Nah, we'll get there. Sorry, man. Sorry. It's
been rough. No, I appreciate you today. I took mostly the lead because I can hear your voice. You're struggling a little bit. But yeah. Anything that's on your radar right now that you're especially focused on right now?
I'm just waiting for Graham Platner to drop out.
Yes. We're on Graham Platner watch, ladies and gentlemen. When it happens, you'll hear it first.
Oyster shucked. Okay.
Ooh, is that a tease for your next
episode? Yeah, it is. It is.
You heard it here on Triggered First. And you can hear everything here on Triggered First. You can even get it uncensored if you become a Town Hall VIP member. You can go to townhallvip.com. You can use promo code FIGHT for 60% off your membership in this exclusive club of patriots. Not only will you be directing funding to us here at Triggered and get access to Triggered Uncensored, but you'll be able to get all our VIP members-only content, like Matt Vespa's VIP columns, Kurt Schlichter's VIP columns, everybody's VIP columns. Don't forget, 5-star ratings and reviews go a long way for us to beat the big tech algorithm. And if you'd like to reach out, you can email us at triggered@townhall.com. Vespa, get well soon, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll do. Thanks, man. Yep. See you then.